Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I'm reminded of Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the closing of that verse is as important as the first of that verse because there'll never be a reaping if we faint. It's so important that we faint not. It's so important that we stay with it and that we put our whole heart into it. And we never know when the Lord's going to come back, but we do know He's coming back. And we never know when we're going to die, but we know we're going to die. And after that, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. We are going to stand before a thrice holy God one day. We're going to give an account not for our sin if we're saved. Thank God it's under the blood. Amen. But we are going to give an account for our service, what we've done for Him. Now, I want to be found faithful when God comes back to take me home, whether it's by the way of the grave or by the way of the rapture. I want to be found faithful in the service of God. Amen. Lamentations chapter number 3. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's word. If you've not found it by now, just stop and everybody won't know. Lamentations chapter number 3. Look in verse number 19. You know, one of the best things in our Bible, we never use it, is that little part in the front that tells us where everything's at. Amen. And I use that quite often when I'm in a service and a preacher calls out a book like Hezekiah, man. And I just try my best to find it. Don't nobody go to looking for it. Okay, it ain't there, all right? Look what the Bible, some of y'all went to the front of your Bible right then, didn't you? I should have said that tonight. I want to preach out of Hezekiah 13:36. Says something like this, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Verse 37 says something like this, husbands, buy your wife a rocking chair because she needs it. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. There's some tension in the building right then. Watch this. Everybody don't know the backstory to that. Lamentations 3, verse number 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. What is it that he recalls to his mind? Well, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And I just want to say this in passing. I'm not going to preach on it, but I like verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And I want to tell you something, you never go wrong waiting on God. Just being patient, making sure you're in the will of God. Amen. Waiting on God is not rebellious tonight. Whenever we think about Jonah ran from God. But waiting on God is not running from God. Now, if God's telling you to do something and you wait too long, you'll begin to run. Are you with me? But good things come to those who wait on the Lord. Amen. I want to look at this for just a little while tonight. And like this morning, I don't have no title for tonight. I've just got a thought, wrote down in the flyleaf of my Bible. I'll give it to you. We'll go home. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for being good to me. God, I thank you, Lord, for helping us this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us the way that you did. God, we don't take that for granted. But God, we've come into your house again tonight, and Lord, it's another service. God, there's needs here tonight, and God, I pray, Lord, for the next little bit that you'd illuminate our mind, God, that you'd preach us in power and unction, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, thank you for what you're doing at Amazing Grace, God, and I know, God, with the work that you're doing here, that the devil's lurking in the shadows. He's just looking for an opportune time, God, to try to destroy it. what you're doing. But I sure am thankful you said in your word, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad you said in your word, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look here in the book of Lamentations for just a little while. And you that knows your Bible knows that it follows right up with Jeremiah, and that more than likely it's not quoted verbatim in the book of Lamentations, but more than likely, Jeremiah is the writer of the book of Lamentations. We note that, as I said this morning, that Jeremiah is that weeping prophet that Jeremiah for 40 years preached, and there is no known recorded conversions of his ministry. But can I say this to you tonight? We do also know this, that his word will not return void, and we never strike out and we never fail when we're doing what God wants us to do. God will give the increase in his time. Amen. Jeremiah was a man that was found faithful whenever you study his life out. When you come to chapter number 3, you'll find that there's the distraught of the prophet, or the distraught of Jeremiah. You see his lament in verse 1 through 18, his hope in verse 19 through 42, his suffering in verses 43 through 54, and his praying in verses number 55 through verse number 66. You'll find here that Jeremiah is remembering some things. Now, I want to say this to you, and I know I said it some this morning, but let me just say it a little bit again tonight. Whenever you decide to serve the Lord, and whenever you decide to wholeheartedly pursue him, I promise you the devil's not going to be happy about that. Once we're saved, we can't lose that salvation. Once saved, always saved. And there's nothing the devil can do to my soul. Amen. The devil can't unsave me. The devil can't drag me into hell. The devil can't do that tonight. But what the devil can do is the devil can discourage me and cause me to quit living for God. That's exactly what the devil wants to do tonight. If the devil can discourage you, if the devil can get you defeated, if the devil can get you despondent to the house of God, then the devil can keep you from telling anybody else about the Lord and having a personal witness in your life. And the devil's desire for the saved person is to discourage them and to defeat them and to get them out of the house of God. Amen. But I sure am glad, as I said just a minute ago, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. In other words, the day that I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I got as much of the Holy Ghost as I'll ever get. I'll never get more of the Holy Ghost than what I got the day I got saved. However, I can hinder the work of the Holy Ghost in my life. That's the reason it's so important that I stay true to God and I keep that prayer line open between me and the Lord. When we come here, there's three simple things that I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see in verse number 19 and 20, a depressing reality. Well, nobody hollered amen and took a lap on that one, did they? A depressing reality. You say, well, what is the depressing reality? Look what he says in verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Here is the depressing reality. People is going to discourage you. People is going to cause you to want to quit every once in a while. Now, you might as well holler amen with me tonight. There's going to be times that not everybody's excited about you serving God. There's going to be times that God leads you to do things and your family may not understand it and others around you may not understand it. And if you're not careful, they will discourage you in the things of God. There is a depressing reality. Not everybody is excited about you serving God. Can I just say something to you tonight? I'm excited about what God's doing for us at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Man, I stand amazed at how good He is. I stand amazed at how He is blessing us. I stand amazed at the goodness of God. But as the church grows, now stay with me, as the church grows, our leadership will grow. I believe God's setting some of that up right now. And if you're not careful, you'll get sideways about this, or you'll get sideways about that. You'll not understand this, or you'll not understand that. And you'll find yourself discouraged in the things of God. There is a depressing reality, and one of that is, I gotta have a wireless mic. I'm gonna put this one on, okay? All of y'all are depressed now because you thought you was gonna get out quick. I told Miss Courtney I actually dozed off this afternoon. I might preach 2 hours tonight. Somebody said, go, go, praise God. I might preach 3 hours now. I like that, boy. I can hear myself good now. You say, that's vain. No, if you ever preach with monitors, you'll understand what I'm saying. Watch this. There's the depressing reality. Know what he says. He said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. I began studying that word wormwood out today, and here's what it is. It's simply bitterness. That gall is bitterness. He's saying this, I'm remembering mine affliction and my bitterness. He says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That word humble means this. It means made low. And he said, when I look back, a depressing reality, when I look back at the way people are, when I look back at the condition of my country, when I look back at my ministry, I've preached, I've served God, and it seems that no one cares, I find myself made low. I studied that word affliction out, and listen to this. It means the state of being afflicted. The word afflicted means this, affected with continued or often repeated pain, either of body, watch this, or of mind. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, there is a repeated pain of my mind. I'll say this to you, man, a mind pain is worse than a body pain. Our mind will do things to us. Our mind will make us think things. Our mind will make us think everybody hates us and nobody loves us. The preacher's mad at us. Everybody at the church, is anybody hearing a preacher tonight? Everybody at the church don't like us. And there is a depressing reality that he brings out right here. Now, if we're all honest within ourselves, we can sit here tonight and act like we've never been there, but we have. We have. I said this before and I'll say it again. I promise you, man will disappoint you. I promise you, you stick around here long enough, I will disappoint you. You will disappoint me, but we've got to remember why we do what we do. There's a depressing reality. Number two, I told y'all I wasn't going to preach that long. There's not only a depressing reality, there's a decision in verse number 21 through 23. There is a decision to remember. There is a decision. Yes, he remembers some things in verse number 19 and 20. But in verse number 21 through 23, he makes a decision to turn his mind onto something else.
He decides, look, I've sat around and bellyached long enough. I've sat around and wallowed in my pity long enough. Let me tell you, don't nobody fall out with me right here. But let me tell you the reason some people stay discouraged, because they don't want to be encouraged, because if they're encouraged, nobody will show them attention. Are you with me? The other day, man, Miss Leslie and I had the privilege of keeping a couple of the kids here in the church. We had little Kenneth and little Caroline. And, man, they're the sweetest youngins. I don't know what their mom and daddy talks about when they say they're mean every once in a while. But I'm telling you, they're the sweetest young. Look, Kenneth, he just crawled up in my lap. I got the best picture of me and him. He's grinning from ear to ear. And whenever I would begin to play with Kenneth, you know what Caroline would do? She'd run around the house. She would holler. She'd run by me and tap me on the leg. And you know what she was doing? Here's what she was doing. I want your attention. I looked at Victoria and I said, she's jealous. She's wanting my attention. Let me tell you the reason some people never move on from their pity party and from their discouragement and from the reality that things is not always going to be good. Because when they're down in the dumps, they're getting the attention from somebody else. But you know what he does right here? He recognizes that there is a depressing reality, but he makes a decision to remember God. Look what he said in verse number 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. You know what he said in anything prior to this? There's no hope. There's no hope in the people. There's no hope in this world. All it does is brings us down. It causes bitterness. It makes me made low. But when I recall to my mind who the Lord is and how good the Lord is, here's what he says. Therefore have I hope. Look what he says in verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know what he does? He remembers his past. He goes back in his mind, I believe. Can I just preach it in our day? We go back in our mind to where we used to be and the life that maybe we used to live and the mess that we used to be in and the times that we wasn't faithful to God and we wasn't faithful to the things of God and the house of God. And in all reality, if God done what God should have done, he would have took us out of here. But he said, I've got hope. Because of the Lord's mercies, I've not been consumed. God didn't let me die and go to hell. God didn't let me die out of his will. It's of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. He said, I take a minute and I just look back. Oh, yeah. Look at this. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. Know what he says. They are new every morning. Watch this. Great is thy faithfulness. You know what he says? Here's what he says. It says there's a depressing reality. But there's a decision to remember that every morning I wake up, God woke me up. I was in a meeting this past week. And we was talking about some people. Wasn't a church meeting, okay, so let me just get that out. I've said this 100 times. Let me make it 101. I've got a life outside the church just like you do, okay? And we was in a meeting and we was talking about some people. One said this. Said, I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter what you do. I about spilt that water. I'm glad I didn't. It don't matter what you do, that individual ain't going to be happy. It don't matter what you say, it don't matter what you do, they are not going to be happy. And others spoke up and said, well, I've seen a little difference in them lately. And said they talked to me the other day and said they had started doing a devotion every morning they woke up. And he said, you know what? I have seen a difference in that person. Let me tell you what will make a difference in your life. Every morning you wake up. And whenever you wake up, you open your eyes and you realize the reason that you're awake today, it's because of the mercies of God. God lets you wake up another morning. God lets you see another day. God lets you put your feet on the floor again. God lets you have breath to breathe. If your kids are still living in the house, God lets you hear them get up every morning and walk up and down the hall and holler for something to eat. It's all because of the Lord. Yes, this world will let us down. Yes, this world will discourage us. Yes, it's depressing to look at them. Oh, but I choose to move on past that. I choose not to focus on the politics and the condition of our country. I'll choose to focus on Him and who He is and how good He is. Oh, yes, there is a decision to remember. He decided to do that. Every day you've got a choice to make. You can live in misery or you can live with the Master. Can I say that again? You can live in misery or you can live with the Master. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You can walk hand in hand with Christ every day. You can have fellowship with Him, amen, with Him every day. Here's what it was. There was a depressing reality. There was a decision to remember. And I say this again. He had to make that decision. He could have sat in verse 19 and 20 and lived the rest of his life right there. But he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose to remember how good God is. He said, preacher, you don't know where I'm at. I don't care where you're at. Let me back. I do care. Okay. Let me just clarify. I do care, all right? If you stumped your toe... Olivia come through the house today and stumped her toe, and it was hilarious. She didn't think it was funny, but I was about to die laughing. I do care. But what I mean is simply this. It don't matter where we're at, church. God's good. God's good. You know what? If it wasn't for the storms, we wouldn't appreciate Him the way that we do. How many times, man, have we thought that we was at a moment of despair and God swept in just right on time and done what He does, amen? There was a decision to remember, but number three, and I'm done. Verse number 24 and 25, there was a declaration of reliability. He declares that there's something he can rely on. Amen. I like that. I like something you can rely on. That's the reason my wife and I drive Fords. That's the reason why. It's the reason I got a Ford truck. She's got a Ford vehicle. No good thing would He withhold from them that walk upright. Olivia's got a Ford. Madeline's still lost. Y'all pray for her. But watch this. There was a declaration of reliability. He said, I'm going to declare to you what you can rely on. Are you hearing me? Here's what you can rely on. Number one, you can rely on people to let you down. But watch this. Here's what we can rely on. Look in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in what happens in November. I'm not putting no hope in what happens in November. Because it don't matter who goes in, Jesus is coming back real soon. All right? He didn't say I put my hope in the pastor. He sure didn't say I put my hope in the Pope. He didn't say nothing about that. Look what he says. He says, therefore will I hope in Him. Who is Him? The Lord. The capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The great I Am. That's who that is. Look what he says in verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Watch this. The Bible said this, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. I began to study that word today. It's very interesting. Matter of fact, we was down in the church offices and I politely hollered for Miss Stephanie. It wasn't one of them, get in here now. It was a politely holler. And you say, well, why did you holler? Well, because her office is on the other side of the wall and I was too lazy to get up, okay? So watch this. We ain't got all the phones set up yet, so I just couldn't hit the button and call her. But watch this. I said, Miss Stephanie, help me with this word. I said, I want you to read over all these definitions and I want you to look at the tense of it. And I want you to make sure that I am saying this the right way. Here's what the word portion means. This is so interesting. It means to endow. Oh, I'm like, y'all, I had to know what that meant, okay? That means to furnish with a portion of goods or estate. And it also means this, to endue. The word endue means this, to furnish or to supply. You're not getting it. To furnish or supply. It means this. It means to furnish with a portion of goods or estate. Or, you know what that means, don't you? Some property. Some property. That in other words, there is an estate. Look what he says in the text. The Bible said, the Lord is my portion. A declaration of reliability. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, the Lord is the one that endues me. He's the one that furnishes me with the goods that I need and with the estate that I need. Can I just say this to you? The reason we can keep going, the reason we can continue, it's because the Lord is my portion. There's a reliability right there. In other words, He has an estate that He has entrusted to me. And what is that? It's a place called heaven. And what he is saying is this, this world will bring heartache, this world will bring sorrow, this world will bring disappointment, but in the midst of all of that, we have a God that we can remember that has been good to us, that has brought us out, that has saved us, that has blessed us, that does allow us to serve him. And thank God this is not our home. This is not all there is to it. There's a far better place to look forward to. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And what he says is there's a declaration of reliability. You can count on him to do what you can count on him to do what he said he would do. So as we close out a Sunday night and Miss Tanya comes to start playing softly, I want you to think about this with me tonight. We've got hope beyond this life. Matter of fact, he said this. He said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I thought about James. James chapter 4, verse number 8 said this. He said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You know what he's saying to us? He's saying there's a reliability right there. We can count on God. When we go to seeking God, there's never been a time that I've went to praying, God, I want to be closer to you, that I wasn't closer to him. Let me tell you the reason why. Because if we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. And when I go to drawing nigh to him, and he goes to drawing nigh to me, you know what's going to happen before long? We're going to have a head-on collision. Amen. We'll have a head-on collision. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I was seeking him. Amen. I don't know why the Lord put me here today. But maybe we just need to have a minute, have a day, just to be encouraged that God knows where we're at. God knows what we're facing. God knows what we're going through. The best thing we can do, Brother Josh, just lock in. You hear what I did? Just lock in. You said, preacher, the circumstances from the past caused me to be reluctant about that. Well, you're going to have to make a choice tonight. You're going to have to make a decision to remember why we do what we do. At the end of service, I'm going to, whenever service is over, I'm going to open the doors to church because people are going to join church. Then after that, I'm going to go down to the office and get my stuff together. I'm going to take the Jeep and drop it off at Johnny's for him to work on it tomorrow, and I'm going to come back. And I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but I'm probably going to eat some eggs and french fries. Drink some orange juice. Take 7 acid reducers and go to bed. You just got to counter-react it before it happens. Are you with me? Go to bed. And if the Lord let me, this week I'm going to finish preparing to preach Wednesday night. Now I'm going to come back Wednesday night. I'm going to do it all over again. But if between now and Wednesday night, a group gets together and decides that Jonathan no longer needs to be the pastor and comes in church Wednesday night, calls a business meeting, asks me to leave, well, number one, I'm not leaving. I'm going to sit in a business meeting. If you're going to vote me out, I'm going to watch you do it. I'm going to sit in my place, and I'm going to watch you and see who votes against me. I mean, if you're going to be man enough to do it, be man enough to do it. Don't be a coward about it. I feel a little Brother Tony coming on. Hey! I feel like preaching to me. I don't know. I just had a mean streak come through me, son. I mean, I honestly, don't be a coward about it. And then whenever you get done, I'm going to say bye. You say, why? Because if you don't want me here, I ain't going to stick around. I'm going to say bye, and I'm going to go to the house. And Renner ain't going to like it, but he's going to get a phone call tomorrow. He's going to have to move. I'm going to move back to East Bend. And I'm going to continue serving God. Find another church that does want a pastor. And until then, preach where God has opened doors. Are you with me? And keep serving Him. I don't serve Him for you. I don't mean that arrogantly. I don't mean that cocky. God knows my heart, I don't. But I don't serve God for you. I don't preach for you. I preach to you sometimes because I know what you're going through. And God lays messages on my heart. But I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for Him. And that's what we've got to remember tonight. You ought not be faithful to church for me. You ought not be faithful to church because you're afraid if you don't come to church, especially if you're one of the leaders in the church, that the preacher's going to fuss at you. You ought to come to church because we come to church for God. We do it for Him. We serve for Him. We preach for Him. We sing for Him. We play an instrument for Him. We sit on a chair for Him. We raise our hand for Him. It's all about Him. And when we get our eyes off of Him, that's when we quit. Maybe today we just needed to be reminded. Let's just stick with it. Miss Stephanie and I was talking. We're going home. I feel kind again now. But Miss Stephanie and I was talking just right before service about a couple things. She said, hey, I got to put a couple things on your desk. And she was telling me what they was. And I said, okay. I said, I'll look over it this week and let you know. And just general talk. I know a lot of y'all think all I do is preach 3 times a week, but there's way more to pastoring than that. That's a fun part of this thing. I said, I'll look over it and we'll get together. And I said, boy, sure was good this morning, wasn't it? She said, yeah. She said, I almost got saved. And I said, boy, it's been real good. Maybe she went, no, she didn't say that. She said, yeah, preacher, it was. She said, it's exciting days, ain't it? I said, yeah. I said, it's scary days. Just to be honest. You say, well, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. But of a sound mind. We'll pray for you, preacher, okay? It really is. And Brother Randy was talking yesterday, and he said, preacher, we're going to put another building. I said, we're going to pay for the one we got first. He said, but preacher, we better be looking. He said, it's amazing what God's doing. And it is. I mean, look around on a Sunday night. We're 3/4 of the way full tonight. On Wednesday night, whenever Kingdom Kids is over, they're averaging anywhere from 45 to 55 every Wednesday night in Kingdom Kids. So bring all them over here and put them in here. We're this full on Wednesday night. So preach what I said. The Lord's good. The Lord's good. We're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. Somebody asked me the other day, what's the average drive time of the people that come to your church? I said, 30 plus minutes. There's not hardly anybody that lives around here close. The drive is worth the difference, by the way. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord's good. But in the midst of all of that, the devil began to mess around. I was at Brother Dorsey's one time. His camp meeting. I don't remember who was up preaching. But he said something about the devil, and he's this big old dude. I mean, he's a big old dude sitting over in the corner. He said, I'll tell you something. I thought he was preaching. I looked over there, and old Red stood up. He looked over at him. He said, when God's blessing, the devil's messing. Preach on, preacher. Boy, how true that is. He's messing around. We've got a purpose in our heart. God's put us here. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that I'm here. The world's going to mistreat us. There's going to be times we're discouraged. But we've got to choose to remember how good God is and know that we can rely on Him. When everybody else has failed us, He'll be there.